And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, it looks like we're beginning to the beginning of the beginning of the changing of the guard. Every day in the last couple of months, or every week in the last couple of months, we've read about sitting Congress members who are not running for re-election. And now, this week, quite surprisingly, Marjorie Taylor Greene not only decided not to run for re-election, she's actually stepping down January the 5th. She's leaving early. What do you make of that?
Well, she made sure she didn't leave too early because she locks in her pension a couple of days before she steps down.
January 3rd, that's her lock-in date, right?
That's her lock-in date. Remember, that was one of the things that Lauren Boebert was worried about. If she didn't get reelected, she wouldn't get her pension.
Right.
She's another one I wish would step down.
She's not going to step down.
Yeah.
But why is Marjorie Taylor Greene stepping down?
Nobody knows. I mean, she's such a wild card. And she's been all over the lot lately. And, you know, she's been a QAnon type of conspiracy type person. You know, she's the one that talked about Jewish space lasers. And I think it's pretty good bet that she has some plan in mind to do, you know, to run for something else to keep her name in the public eye. I just don't know exactly what it is right now.
She's got a lot of money that she raised for campaigning. She can't just spend it. She can only spend it on running for something. So if she runs, she's got a lot of money. If she doesn't run, she doesn't have money.
Yeah, she wanted to run for governor of Georgia, and Donald Trump pretty well nixed that for her. There's other things that, I don't know if she's going to decide to run for Senate down there. I don't think so.
But you mean against Ossoff?
And against Ossoff, because he's maybe the most endangered Democrat out there, but the odds have gotten much better for him since the Democrats have become much more engaged and enthusiastic about voting all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So his odds have improved.
But listen, she's a nutty woman, but she represents something. She has a base, nationwide base.
Yes.
What do you think that this does to the MAGA people?
The MAGA thing is split right now on two different fronts. The first front they're split on is the Epstein matter.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes really, really to their core.
And this was a big issue for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
It was. For years, the Republicans have been pushing this idea that Democrats are pedophiles. You remember Hillary Clinton ran a ring out of the basement of the pizza shop in Washington, D.C. And
right.
Some guy ran, you know, went up from North Carolina with a shotgun or something to break it up.
Yeah, he's going to liberate the kids in the basement.
Except there was no basement.
Well, you know.
Details.
Details, right.
Details. But they've been working this thing. And then they latched onto this Epstein thing. And Trump ran on it, don't forget.
Right.
And he doesn't know how to run away from it. He's been trying.
Because the MAGA people don't want to run away from it. They really believe that there's something to be, revealed.
And that has been one of the most mishandled pieces of the Trump administration. And when you think about all the things that they've mishandled, this has been it. He's got his FBI director and his attorney general saying, we've got these records and we're going to release them very soon. We're just, you know, trying to do some little editing to protect the names of victims. And nothing came out. And then they backed off. There's nothing to see here, and nothing really isn't anything. And meanwhile, the state is releasing materials apparently that the FBI didn't have. And it just keeps feeding the fire. And Trump finally this week kind of gave in on it. He basically said, go vote to release the files. Now, of course, Congress wouldn't have to vote to release the files if they just released them themselves.
They could have done that.
Vote was overwhelming, 427 to 1.
Right.
And then it went to the Senate the next day, and people were saying, well, it might not get through the Senate. In the past, I believe unanimously in the Senate in a matter of hours. But that whole process, there's another thing if you step back and say, people want to know why Congress can't get things done in Washington, and they look at this, and it took them 2 days, one in the House and one in the Senate, to pass something, a resolution. And people say, well, why can't you do something for us in 2 days?
Because they can't. They don't want to.
That's the answer.
What you don't want to, you can't do.
Do, yeah.
But in any case, even though they voted that it should be released, the point is that Bondi still has a way out, because Trump ordered her to investigate the Democrats who are involved with Epstein, and she can keep anything she wants to because it would be under the rubric that it's part of a pending investigation and we can't release it. So who the hell knows?
If the Democrats are smart, they'd say, well, release the stuff that you're not using to investigate us. She's stuck on with this stuff and she can't get rid of it. It's like flypaper. She can't shake it off.
Part of it is that they're very incompetent.
Yeah.
Look at the problems they're having with the Comey prosecution.
Oh, big problems there.
They're not even problems of substance. There's a problem of just process, procedure.
Basic process that every U.S. attorney knows.
Yeah, I would imagine you learn this stuff the year one in law school, right?
Well, you don't quite learn that, but you do learn about due process and how it's bad. But, you learn it year one if you're a U.S. attorney.
Yeah.
And they hand you a file and they say, go indict somebody,
Right.
It's not a difficult process.
The woman that they appointed never did it. Okay. But then they got two other guys who came up from North Carolina who have done it. And they're the ones who bollocks it all up.
Yeah.
They're blaming her, but they're the ones who did it.
Yeah. And, like you said, the term is kakistocracy. A government run by the least competent people to run it.
Well, that's our saving grace.
Yeah. It's going to be going on and on and on and on. Every week there's going to be something more in it. And meanwhile, the sword of Damocles is hanging over their head because the survivors know all this information.
Right.
They could tell you who else was involved,
right,
when it happened and where it happened.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Trump administration has taken Ghislaine Maxwell and put her into a cushy situation for no apparent reason, other than she said that Donald Trump didn't do anything. But
he made a deal. She absolved him, and she's supposed to get something. Now, if he reneged on it, I don't know what she'd have.
Well, she said that she would take the Fifth Amendment,
right?
If she was called before Congress,
right?
Which is really interesting because she's already been convicted.
I know. What is this? Well, didn't they pass some law years ago that said that if they gave you absolution, you weren't going to be tried for your testimony? You could no longer take the Fifth Amendment.
Well, it's transactional. Amnesty, where if anything that you say during your testimony, if it incriminates you, will not be prosecuted.
That's right. So how could she take the Fifth?
Well, the committee would have to agree to doing that. But because her appeals, I think, have been exhausted. Didn't the Supreme Court turn it down?
Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't take the appeal.
They wouldn't take the appeal. So anyway, I mean, but it's not. We started with Marjorie Taylor Greene. One of the other crazy ladies from the Congress, Nancy Mace.
She's running for governor.
Governor of South Carolina, and she's been all over the map.
Right.
She's
truly dippy.
Yeah. On the Democratic side, you got Katie Porter, who's running for governor of California.
And she was comfortably ahead, and now she's no longer ahead.
You've got the elders who have retired, you know, say they're retiring, Nancy, led by Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over in the Senate, you've got Dick Durbin.
Yeah, Swalwell is retiring. He's going to run. He's running for Senate, governor also.
Of California.
Right.
And there's going to be more and, you know, more and more names there.
And then you get people who haven't withdrawn, but who are so dippy that you can't, it's hard to see how they could get reelected. For example, your congressman, Bresnahan.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an example of a jerk.
I mean, really, there have been a couple of things that have really, you know, hurt him right from the beginning. One was his pledge not to cut funding for Medicare and Medicaid. And then he voted for that big, bad, beautiful, bad bill.
Right.
Which did that.
Right.
Although he keeps saying he didn't. Remember, there's a commercial running on TV narrated by Mike Johnson saying how wonderful that bill was and how much it's doing for the people.
Yes.
And then then it came out that he was trading stocks on matters that he had a vote on, and that his vote would affect their, whether they made money or whether they lost money, you know, whether he sold early or whether he bought early. And he came out with one of the dumbest statements of anybody when he said, well, you know, what do you expect me to do? Stop trading and go broke?
Exactly.
You guys worth tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
And the answer to that is no, we expect you to get out of Congress if you want to be a trader.
That's right.
Last
week it came out, right?
Right. He did three or four other trades on matters of healthcare people.
He dumped stock in companies that manage Medicaid 3 days before the vote that he knew about, which was going to dump and cut the Medicaid roll,
right,
so that these companies wouldn't have any work.
Right.
But he sold before anybody knew that. And he sold, what, $137,000 worth of stock, which is a lot of stock.
Yeah.
These are not companies whose stock is $1,000 a piece. These are penny stocks.
Right. So if one of the issues is you're trading stocks improperly, he goes out and trades some more.
Exactly.
You mentioned beforehand, maybe he doesn't want to get reelected. You know, who knows?
Well, then why doesn't he just withdraw?
Well, that's a good question.
He's a jerk. The answer is he's a jerk.
Yeah. He wasn't a polished politician to start with, but
polished politician. This man needs guidance crossing the street.
Yeah, well, don't forget, he had a company given to him when he was 19 years old.
Did he make go broke?
No, he sold it out before it could go broke. I guess. But they're still working there for tens of millions of dollars.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
incredible. Well,
there are things there that are pointing to big changes in Congress. You know, the Republicans are trying to gerrymander every place they can, and they're running into problems. They ran into problems in Indiana, other places, or Nebraska. They wanted to gerrymander that one district that's around Omaha. That's a Democratic district, and
the only one.
The only one, and they're not. You know, they wouldn't do it in Nebraska. And now the Texas gerrymander may not go through. An appeals court voted, or
two to one, right?
2-1, yeah. But they were Trump appointees, although it was a vociferous dissent. You know, objection to it. Yeah, dissent. And
but it's interesting. The Trump appointee, vote that the map was illegal, unconstitutional, and he really hammered the state for doing it. He really laid it out.
Well, he said it was on racial lines.
That's right.
Not on political lines.
Exactly.
Because political, the Supreme Court has said, oh, it doesn't matter. I think that the political, you know, if it's on political lines, you should be arguing freedom of association, you know, the First Amendment. But anyway.
But the one who dissented was appointed by Reagan.
Yeah.
And his dissent is unbelievably, it's almost incomprehensible. Not because it's filled with legalese, but because it's completely illogical. But I'll leave that for you to read. It's 106 pages.
Meanwhile, it got stayed anyways by Alito.
By Alito. Right, exactly.
But apparently it's a very short stay pending what the rest of the Supreme Court's going to do, whether they're going to continue the stay till they can decide the case or decide whether they're going to take the case. But it's, this is another thing that the Republicans started that seems to be falling apart, because if that gerrymander is ruled unconstitutional, they could wind up losing more seats than they hope to win. Right. California's gerrymander might, you know, it's probably going to last.
Right.
It's not based on race.
Right.
So we'll have to see on that.
So now there was something else that happened last week that I want to ask you about and see what you think about this. Mamdani asked for a meeting with Trump. I thought that was pretty ballsy. Trump said, okay, come meet me. So he went down and they did meet on Friday. Now, everybody thought that this was going to be a repeat of the Zelensky-Trump meeting, the first one, that Vance blew up. And figured that Trump would really give Mamdani a hard time. Lo and behold, kissing cousins.
Yeah. A couple of bros from Queens.
And Trump says, I think he'll be a great mayor. I wish him the best. We both love the city.
Well, I think that has something to do with it, because Trump still has properties in the city.
Yes, he has a lot of property in the city.
And he's going to want something about those properties.
Was interesting was that, you know, the reporters were there, and one of the right wing reporters asked Mamdani, do you still think Trump is a fascist? And before Mamdani could answer, Trump said, and he laid his hand on him, he grabs him by the arm and he said, just say yes. You don't have to go into it. It's too lengthy to explain. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Now, that's very interesting. Just say yes. Yes, I'm a fascist. That's what Trump said. Yes, I'm a fascist.
Yeah, but he didn't want the explanation.
He didn't want the explanation. That's right. He didn't.
So he cut it short. But this is the mercurial aspect of Trump. You know, he has a love affair with Kim Jong-un, and then he abruptly leaves, saying bad things about him, and then he's back with them. The only one he's very consistent on. The one is with Vladimir Putin, and that showed this week too.
Yeah.
Right. When Trump's negotiators, Witkoff and somebody else, met with Zelensky.
One of the military chiefs.
One of the military chiefs, and basically said, here's what you're going to do. The Russians gave us a plan. Just say yes.
Right, exactly.
It was it. And you better do it by Thanksgiving. Now, Trump backed off that a little bit. Somebody asked him, is that your final offer? And he said, no, you know, it might change. But he's getting a lot of flack. He's getting a lot of flack from Republicans as well as Democrats over this. So, we'll see, but you know, this is part of his push to get the Nobel Prize and to get this behind him, because remember, this was the war he was going to end on day one.
Right.
And he really doesn't like conflict, unless he's blowing up boats from Venezuela.
Yeah. I wonder what that's costing every day to keep those 15,000 troops, those 10 naval ships, the largest aircraft carrier in the Navy, all those planes, F-35s. I wonder what that buildup is costing. Must be a fortune.
I don't know. You know, and, you know, most of, first of all, they're not, they may be trafficking in something like cocaine. They're not trafficking in fentanyl. That comes from Mexico.
They don't send the drugs. The drugs that leave Venezuela don't go to America. They go to Africa. That's where they go. However many there are, however much the traffic is, most of it goes to Africa. It doesn't come to America. People in the Drug Enforcement Authority have been quoted to that effect.
So yeah,
the whole thing is put up job.
It looks good when they're blowing up the boats, but you know, yeah. The usual way that we stop boats is the U.S. Coast Guard.
Yes.
Which interdicts a lot of boats, you know, coming from Cuba and coming from the various Caribbean places. And of course, this week we had another, like you said, another example of cacistocracy with the Coast Guard. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, they get an edict from the Department of, should we call it Defense or War, that the Coast Guard will no longer consider the swastikas and nooses and the Confederate flag symbols of hate. Right. Because to do so would be too divisive, as if the Confederate flag wasn't the symbol of the most divisive era in American politics, the Civil War.
I thought being divisive was the whole point of the Confederate flag.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
And that only lasted a couple of days, and then they had to back off of that one.
And claim they never did it.
Yeah, it wasn't us. What you saw wasn't us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but I think that lest we absolve the Democrats from stupidity and God knows what, a good faction of the Democrats, including the entire leadership of the House, did something remarkably unbelievable to me. On Friday, as we said before, Mamdani and Trump were to meet. In order to dissociate themselves from the meeting, the Republicans sponsored a resolution to condemn socialism. And that was voted by the Congress on Friday. Now, the interesting thing is, what the hell do the Republicans mean when they talk about socialism? Harry Truman said, you brought me to this quote, and I looked it up. Truman made a speech on October 10th, 1952, in Syracuse, New York. And he talked about the Republicans' definition of socialism. He says, for the Republicans, socialism is a scare word that they hurl at every advance the people have made in the last 20 years. In other words, the New Deal. Socialism is what they call public power, so meaning electricity. Socialism is what they call Social Security, what they call farm price supports, what they call bank deposit insurance. Socialism is what they call the growth of free and independent labor organizations. Socialism is their name for almost anything that helps all the people. When the Republican candidate inscribes the slogan, "Down with socialism," on the banner of his great crusade, that is really not what he means at all. What he really means is down with the New Deal. That's all he means. Now, that's Harry Truman. Now, it has not changed. When Medicaid was proposed, that was socialism. And not only socialism, it was going to bring about the end of the Republic immediately. Medicaid, yeah. Medicare.
When they were doing in the 60s, when they were doing Medicare, the American Medical Association came out against it for those reasons.
Socialism.
So socialized medicine.
Yeah. So that's what this group means when they condemn socialism. Meanwhile, 87 Democrats signed up and voted for that. How in the hell are these Democrats going to propose to stand that to argue that they stand for the needs of working people if what they actually are voting against is not some college professor's theoretical explanation of socialism, not what Karl Marx wrote about when he wrote about socialism, not what Proudhon wrote about when he wrote about socialist anarchism. They're voting for what the Republicans say socialism is. Social security, electricity, and all that other stuff. How can they possibly claim to be tribunes of the people if, when it comes to vote, they vote against it, which is exactly what they did this Friday?
Well,
Jeffries, the deputy leader, Clark from Massachusetts, and the whip, they voted.
This is incredible. Because a couple of things, because Mamdani has linked Democrats and socialism together, calling himself a democratic socialist, although Bernie has done that too.
Yeah, Bernie did that.
But Bernie wasn't a member of the Democratic Socialist Party, though. Mamdani is.
So what? It's the Democratic Socialist Organization. It's not a party. But even if it were a party, the point is, he's the Democratic candidate. They didn't like it. The Democrats should have voted against him.
Yeah. But this didn't put up for a vote the individual things that you talked about.
No, everybody knows what the Republicans mean because every Democrat has said it.
Yeah. By the way, the Republicans have started to flesh out their plan to replace the Obamacare. And it's essentially, one of these, you have your own private health care accounts type of thing.
Is that linked to Trump giving you $2,000?
Something like that. But it's no real plan at all, because nobody can, you have to negotiate with your own, with an insurance company.
You have to negotiate?
Yeah. You have to negotiate with an insurance company.
Lots of luck.
And, there goes the pre-existing condition prohibition, things like that. I mean, people don't have the wherewithal to do this.
No, they don't have the wherewithal to do this, and they're not going to do it.
No. I mean, the Republicans are full of these ideas that sound really good, because they're intended to sound really good when you first hear them. But when you analyze them, it works against people's better interests.
A lot of the insurance policies that the private insurance companies offer, which is not allowed under Obamacare, are these lightweight insurance policies with enormous deductibles, $7,000, $5,000, $9,000 deductible.
Right.
That's illegal under Obamacare. But that's what they offer you if you don't, go through the private
exchange.
The exchange, that's right. And that's really what they're going to promote, which is no insurance at all.
Yeah. By the way, I'm on Medicare, but my son has private through Blue Shield. And, every year they change the plan, they change the names. You get no continuation of the plan. But this year I got they sent him his information to choose, what alternate plan they want. The old plan is out, but they only gave him one choice for a new plan. And it's almost identical to the old plan and what it covers, blah, blah, except for the premiums. And I looked at the premium. Do you want to guess the percent of increase?
No, I'm sure I'll be wrong.
20%.
And 20% increase?
20% increase per month.
Per month?
Well, 20%. Yeah.
Well,
his monthly bill is going to be 20% higher. His January bill is going to be 20% higher than his December bill. We'll put it that way.
Well, the people who are covered by the Obamacare, their insurance increase is going to be more than 20%. Some of them are going to have an increase of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Some $1,000 a month, not a year, a month. That's because they're cutting out the subsidy.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, we got to fight socialism. We got to fight socialism.
Well, I don't know what we have. We have Thanksgiving coming up this week. I don't know what we're. what we'll be thankful for, but we'll find something. We'll find something.
Well, if you find something, you'll let us know next week.
By the way, the cost of Thanksgiving has gone up too, unless you're with Walmart, because their package has 40% less items in it. So,
but I can't comment on that. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.